He is on Celador. But Celador is a great island, broader than Roke or Gaunt, and near as long as Enlad. We may seek him long. Then the dragon spoke. Ged listened and turned to Arryn. Thus says the Lord of Celador, I have come back to my own land, nor will I leave it. I will find the Unmaker and bring you to him, that together we may abolish him. And have I not said that what a dragon hunts, he finds? Thereupon Ged went down on one knee before the great creature, as a liegeman kneels before a king, and thanked him in his own tongue. The breath of the dragon, so close, was hot on his bowed head. Orm Embar dragged his scaly weight up the dune once more, beat his wings, and took the air. Ged brushed the sand from his clothes and said to Arryn, Now you have seen me kneel, and maybe you'll see me kneel once more before the end. Arryn did not ask what he meant. In their long companionship he had learned that there was reason in the mage's reserve, yet it seemed to him that there was evil omen in the words. They crossed over the dune to the beach once more to make sure the boat lay high above the reach of tide or storm, and to take from her cloaks for the night and what food they had left. Ged paused a minute by the slender prow which had borne him over strange seas so long, so far. He laid his hand on it, but he set no spell and said no word. Then they struck inland, northward once again, toward the hills. They walked all day, and at evening camped by a stream that wound down toward the reed-choked lakes and marshes. Though it was full summer, the wind blew chill, coming from the west, from the endless, landless reaches of the open sea. A mist veiled the sky, and no stars shone above the hills on which no hearth fire or window light had ever gleamed. In the darkness, Arryn woke. Their small fire was dead, but a westering moon lit the land with a gray, misty light. In the stream valley and on the hillside about it stood a great multitude of people, all still, all silent, their faces turned toward Ged and Arryn. Their eyes caught no light of the moon. Arryn dared not speak, but he put his hand on Ged's arm. The mage stirred and sat up, saying, What's the matter? He followed Arryn's gaze and saw the silent people. They were all clothed darkly, men and women alike. Their faces could not be clearly seen in the faint light, but it seemed to Arryn that among those who stood nearest them in the valley, across the little stream, there were some whom he knew, though he could not say their names. Ged stood up, the cloak falling from him. His face and hair and shirt shone silvery pale, as if the moonlight gathered itself to him. He held out his arm in a wide gesture and said aloud, O you who have lived, go free. I break the bond that holds you. For a moment they stood still, the multitude of silent people. They turned away slowly, seeming to walk into the gray darkness, and were gone. Ged sat down. He drew a deep breath. He looked at Arryn and put his hand on the boy's shoulder, and his touch was warm and firm. There's nothing to fear, Labanan, he said gently, mockingly. They were only the dead. Arryn nodded, though his teeth were chattering and he felt cold to his very bones. How did... he began, but his jaw and lips would not obey him yet. Ged understood him. They came at his summoning. This is what he promises, eternal life. At his word they may return. At his bidding they must walk upon the hills of life, though they cannot stir a blade of grass. Is he then dead too? Ged shook his head, brooding. The dead cannot summon the dead back into the world. No, He has the powers of a living man, and more. But if any thought to follow him, he tricked them. He keeps his power for himself. He plays king of the dead, and not only of the dead. But they were only shadows. I don't know why I fear them, Arryn said with shame. You fear them because you fear death, and rightly. For death is terrible and must be feared, the mage said. He laid new wood on the fire and blew on the small coals under the ashes. A little flare of brightness bloomed on the twigs of brushwood, a grateful light to Arryn. And life also is a terrible thing, Ged said, and must be feared and praised. They both sat back, wrapping their cloaks close about them. They were silent a while. Then Ged spoke very gravely. Lebanon, how long he may tease us here with sendings and with shadows, I do not know. But you know where he will go at last. Into the Darkland. Aye, among them. I have seen them now. I will go with you. Is it faith in me that moves you? You may trust my love, but do not trust my strength. For I think I have met my match. I will go with you. But if I am defeated, if my power or my life is spent, I cannot guide you back. You cannot return alone. I will return with you. At that, Ged said, you enter your manhood at the gate of death. And then he said that word or name by which the dragon had twice called Arryn, speaking it very low. Agni. Agni Lebanon. After that, they spoke no more, and presently sleep came back into them, and they lay down by their small and briefly burning fire.